Genesis chapter 11, and we're going to talk tonight about whose kingdom are you building? Whose kingdom are you building? Genesis chapter 11, we're going to start off by reading verses 1 through 9. It says, "Now the whole earth had one language and one speech, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, 'Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly.' They had brick for stone, they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, 'Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth.' But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, 'Indeed, the people are one, and they have all one language. And this is what they begin to do now. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down there and confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech.' So the Lord scattered them abroad from over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth." Well, whose kingdom are you building? Obviously, they were building here this city and this great tower to give themselves a great name, right? And in life, we as human beings, we love for our name to be recognized. We love to give ourselves a great name. We love to get the recognition. We love to get the glory. It's in our fleshly nature to do that. Whether it is the way you dress, some people get recognized and they're like, "I want to be recognized, and so I'm going to dress with a lot of expensive clothes or a lot of no clothes," right? And so they can get recognized that way. Or maybe it's buying the latest, newest things, right? So they get all the latest stuff and they want to be recognized for, "Look at all this stuff that I have. Look at the new gadgets that I have. Look at the boat. Look at the house. Look at the wife," right? Or the family or whatever it might be. Or maybe it's just they try to be funny, right? Some of you probably have friends or know people that they try to be funny, but they're just not funny. However else they try, you know? And they just try so hard. Or they kiss up to the boss to get a promotion, to get noticed, and they'll just do anything that the boss says, compromising, lying, whatever it takes to climb that corporate ladder. We can do a lot of silly stuff to be recognized. Some of the crazy things in the world. Hey, I'm going to put bling in my teeth, you know, so I can go, ting, diamonds, right, and gold, and make an investment in my teeth, right? And hopefully you don't get robbed at gunpoint. Someone steals a tooth because you put bling in your teeth or whatever. Maybe the selfie is probably one that's really noticeable today. And we want to get noticed. So we take a selfie and we look at it and we're like, "Oh, that's just not good enough. I got to take another one. No, that I can't post that one," right? The worst is when you take a groupie, which is, if you don't know that because you're a little more mature in your age, that's with a group of people and you take a picture. But the worst is when you crop out everybody else and you just post yourself on that picture, right? That's a groupie. But I was watching the news a couple weeks ago and I saw this on the news and it just floored me, like, what crazy things people will do to get recognized. And so there was this guy, his name is Paul Rosseline, and he made this suit. Do we have a picture of that suit that we can stick up there? Hopefully it'll come up on the screen. He made this suit. Here it is right here. And you can buy the suit, and what it is it's a snake suit, right? And so he was like, I want to be eaten by an anaconda. So I made this suit so I won't get crushed by its power or the acid and all that stuff. And so you can put the next picture up on there. They hiked for like 6 hours in the jungle to find the perfect snake. And then he tried to feed his head to it. So here it is. And after about an hour, the snake swallowed his head and he had oxygen on there. He could talk with the people outside. And after about an hour, he gave up on it because he felt like his head was going to get crushed in the anaconda. So now you can go buy one of these suits for about 10 grand. And as you're walking through the jungle and it's 120 degrees out, if you see a snake, don't worry. You have a snake suit. You'll be protected, right? The crazy things we do to be recognized in this world. And here we're going to see in this story, in the story of the Tower of Babel, just how we will try to build our own kingdom, how we will try to get glory for ourselves. But what is our purpose and why were we created on the face of this earth? It is not to bring glory to our names, but it is to bring glory to one, and his name is Jesus Christ, and to exalt him and to decrease so that he can increase. And so let's look at that today and ask that question, whose kingdom are you building? And so look at verses 1 through 4 there. The whole earth had one language, one speech. And it came to pass, they journeyed, right, to the east. They found a plain in the land of Shinar. So Shinar is actually Babylon. So this was Babylon that they were at. And they said, let us come together. Let us be one. Let us work together. We speak the same language. Let's build these bricks. And let's build this huge city, Babylon, and this tower, right, that reaches to the heavens. But here's the thing. They were deliberately rebelling against God. They were deliberately being disobedient against God. You say, how so? They're just building a tower. They're just building this city. Because this is after the flood of Noah, right? Where God destroyed everybody off the face of the earth because there was so much evil and wickedness in the land. And he saved Noah and his family members, 8 of them altogether. And he says in Genesis chapter 9, verse 1, so God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. What does it say in verse 4? It says, let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. God told them, fill the earth, be scattered abroad. And they said, no, let's come together and let's not heed the word of God. So number one, if you're taking notes, if you want to build the kingdom of God, you have to heed his word. And they certainly were not. They were rebelling against God. And they were building this tower. And it says they were building the top in the heavens. And this is really interesting because a lot of people think, well, they were building this tower to reach up to heaven, so high that they would reach up to heaven. But that doesn't make any logical sense because they're building in the plain of Shinar. If they wanted to do that, why not build on top of a mountain that was nearby, right? So that doesn't make any sense. But if you look in the Hebrew wording behind that phrase, as whose top is in the heavens, it means in or on. And if you pick any book up about astrology today, you're going to find out that these people called the Chaldeans first discovered astrology, okay? Chaldeans is another name for Babylonians, okay? So Chaldeans, they did that. And they're the ones that came up with the zodiac. They divided the sections of sky into parts to worship these different sky gods and different zodiac signs. They're the ones that came up with this. And it makes sense that this is what's going on, that this is a place of worship. They were deliberately saying, we don't want to follow you, God. We want to worship what we want to worship and do what we want to do, right? And the Bible traces all false religion back to Babylon. In Revelation chapter 17, verse 5, it says, and on her forehead a name was written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. So all these false religions stem out of Babylon, and it's a place of worship made by man for man's glory. That's what's going on here. Whether they were worshiping gods in the sky or whatever they were doing, but they were saying, hey, we're going to worship ourselves. We're going to worship whatever gods we want to. And doesn't that remind us of today? Doesn't it remind us of what's going to happen in the end times of a one-world religion coming together? They all had one language. They were all in one place. And it reminds us of this whole coexist movement today, right? That all ways lead to heaven. Whatever you believe is your truth. So you can just be God of your life, and you can just make up your own heaven, and you can have your own planet, and you can believe in whatever you want to believe, and that must be true. The problem is that even if you take that coexist sticker with all those different religions, if you compare those different religions, they hate each other and want to kill each other, and they do. We were out witnessing with some volunteers, some of our youth, the Thursday before Good Friday, before Easter. And ran into this couple talking with them and just said, hey, you know, do you guys know where you're going if you die today? They said, yeah, we're going to heaven. I said, all right, well, can I tell you what the Bible says so we can make sure you're going to heaven? Yeah, sure, right? So I started talking to them. and telling them that Jesus, John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. He's the only way to get to heaven, right? And so this lady proceeds to tell me, well, I believe that all religions are based on truth and love. And I said, what about ISIS? They're beheading Christians. They're killing people. And I said, what about in Kenya University, where the Al-Qaeda just separated Muslims from Christian students and murdered 47 Christian students in Kenya University? And she said, well, they're just not following their religion wholeheartedly, you know. They're just not doing that. I said, they did it in the name of Allah, right? And the conversation kind of ended quickly. She didn't like me, and that's kind of how that went, right? But not everybody's way can be right. And that's what's going on here in this Tower of Babel. They're building their own religious system without God. Forget you, God. We're rebelling against you. We're disobeying you. We're not going to heed your word. We're going to do what we want and make up our own gods and do what was right in our own minds. And it reminds me also of a works-based religion, right? Well, look at what we have built. Look at how good that we are. And when you ask people that question, hey, if you die today, where are you going to go? I'm going to go to heaven. Why? Well, because I'm a good person, right? Isn't that what they say? That's what most people say. I'm a good person. But the Bible tells us that no one is good, no, not one. That our righteousness is as filthy rags, the Bible says. That the wages of sin is death. That all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And we have all sinned, and sin condemns us to hell. And so we can only make it to heaven by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Ephesians 2:8 and 9, a verse that we should all memorize, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So they were ignoring God, and I would just ask you, why were they ignoring God here? Why did they not want to obey him? And it's with all of us. It's with everybody in the world. We don't want to commit ourselves to God because if we believe, hey, the Bible is true and God is the creator and he's the ultimate authority of truth, it means that he's the final judge. It means the buck stops here. It means that he will have the final word and say, and now I have to be committed to him and I'm held accountable to somebody. But if I don't believe he's God, then I don't have to follow the word and I can follow whatever I want to do and I don't have to be accountable to anybody. So I don't have to change the way that I'm living. And isn't that our world that we live in? It's a world of pride. And it's that. We live in a world that we think freedom is doing what we want, is exactly what they said. Well, we're doing what we want. This is true freedom. And that's the American culture we live in. Do what you want. That'll make you happy. But we see that that is not the case, obviously, through people in Hollywood that have had it all, yet that have committed suicide or, you know, had everything that they wanted to at their fingertips, yet they were not happy or satisfied, right? They always need more. We see it in the Bible. We see it with Pharaoh, right? And Pharaoh, he wouldn't heed God's word. And Moses said, Pharaoh, God said, let my people go. And he wouldn't. So what happened? Another plague came in, right? And another plague came in. And pretty soon the last one to kill the firstborn son. And anybody that didn't have the blood of the lamb on their doorpost, the angel of death would not pass over but kill their firstborn son. Because they didn't heed the word of God. Freedom is not doing what we want. Freedom is doing what God tells us in his word because he has the best plan for our life. And it leads to life and life abundantly. When we do what we want to do, it leads to death. It leads to the devil stealing and killing and destroying our lives. It leads to bondage. It leads to pain. It leads to hurt. And we see it over and over in the Bible with Samson or Adam and Eve, right? Taking of the forbidden fruit. And what happened? All of a sudden they realized they were naked and they were ashamed. And God had to kill an animal, which was a picture of Jesus, future Jesus, that he would have to kill the Lamb of God and to cover the sins of mankind. But they were kicked out of the garden. There's consequences, it brings pain, and the rest of it. True freedom is following God, and they were not doing that here. I can remember a good friend of mine. his name's Gabe, but it's not the Gabe worship leader, so don't get that confused. It's very important that you remember that, because this is kind of an interesting story. But Gabe was on his honeymoon with his newly married wife here in Hawaii, and they went out to the beach, and there was no one at this beach, and they're like, wow, this is amazing. I love Hawaii. And after a while, they noticed that there was all these signs that said, warning, jellyfish, right? And my buddy Gabe, he was this big, bulky guy. He's like, jellyfish, whatever. They're not going to hurt me or anything. Let's go, you know? So they started swimming in there and got a little bit farther out. And all of a sudden, his wife's like, ah, ah, ah. And he thought it was a shark. So he threw her in the water, like threw her out of the way and just going to wrestle the shark. And then he got, ah, and they, it was man-o-war jellyfish stinging them like crazy. And they're on their honeymoon. So they got out of the water and they're like, oh, don't touch me. Oh, it hurts, right? Don't touch me. There's consequences for our sin. When we do what we think is right and we ignore the warning signs, when we ignore the words of God, right? There's consequences. And their whole honeymoon was, don't touch me, right? Not a fun experience on your honeymoon. Because he didn't heed the warning signs. And when we don't heed the warning signs of God's word, there are all kinds of problems. There's all kinds of mess when we do things our own way, consequences for our sin. And so how do you ignore God in your life? Maybe it's you're ignoring his word and saying, hey, I don't care. I'm going to cohabitate with this person. Marriage, that's an old thing. I don't want to be married. I'm just going to live with this person. Or maybe it's forgiving someone and you say, you know what? You just don't know what they did to me. I can't forgive them. And so you ignore God's word that way. Maybe it's things that are on the internet that you're looking at. Maybe it's you're like a Jonah and you're running away from God, that what he's called you to do, and you just keep running away from God. And so what are you ignoring God with? How are you ignoring God? How are you living your own life and doing your own thing? And this is what's going on here, is they're trying to make a name for themselves, right? Verse 4, it says they're trying to make the name for themselves lest we be scattered abroad. And who did that from the very beginning? This is the spirit of Lucifer. This is the spirit of the devil himself. Rebellion against God. Rejecting his word. Lucifer, in the beginning, a created angel, a worship angel in heaven, and he said, I will be like the Most High. I will be God. And God said, uh-uh, there's only one God. And he cast him down out of heaven. And one third of the angels went with him, who we know today as the demons, right? And so that is really a big deal. And so it's not for us to make our name known. We're not to bring glory to our name. Our purpose is to know God and make him known. So whose kingdom are you building? Are you submitting to God and his word, or are you rebelling against God? But look at verse 3 as we move on. It says, then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks, bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. This is very interesting because asphalt, the same word for asphalt here, is used in Exodus chapter 2, verse 3, for when Moses was a baby and his mom made a basket for him, and she covered it with asphalt and pitch and put it into the river. That word asphalt is a waterproof word. They're building a waterproof tower. Why are they building a waterproof tower? Because, number two, if you're taking notes, they did not trust in God's promises. After God flooded the earth and he brought Noah through it, what was the sign that he gave, right? Anybody? Rainbow. Rainbow, right? Yeah, it's not a symbol of the homosexual community, which is what the world does. It perverts God's word and changes it around. The rainbow is a symbol of God's promise that he would never flood the earth again, right? But they did not trust in God's promises, and so I would ask you tonight, where do you struggle trusting God's promises? You might not be rebelling against him, but where do you struggle trusting in God's promises? It might be providing for your needs. And you're like, man, I know that God's word said he'll provide for my needs according to his riches and glory, but I got this plastic credit card thing, and I'm going to swipe it some more. Instead of praying and waiting on the Lord, right? That's what we can do. Or maybe it's that God can use you and use your abilities. You don't trust God that, well, I'm just not good enough at anything to do this. Or maybe it's answering your prayers. And you don't trust God long enough to answer your prayers. Maybe it's you can't overcome temptation and you just don't trust God and his word and his spirit that he can help you overcome that. So you just give into it. Why not? Just going to let go and give into it. Maybe it's like, for if you're a single person tonight, there's no single good Christian girls out there. So why wait? I'm just going to pick one that's hot and breathing and has teeth. I'm going to go find one of those. And I'm going to sign up on Christian Mingle and try that for a while. But, you know, if that doesn't work, I'm just going to order one off the internet if that doesn't work, you know. We need to wait on the Lord and trust in His word and His promises and doing that. A good example of this is Lot in the Bible. Lot, right? The angels had to drag him out of Sodom and Gomorrah because he was living among the wicked, and God was going to destroy that city for the sexual sin there and the homosexual sin there. And they had to drag him out, and they got out there. Sarah, his wife, Lot's wife, turned around, turned into a pillar of salt because God said, don't look back, right? And then Lot goes up into this cave with his two daughters. And his two daughters were concerned about their family name. Like, oh, our family name's not going to go on. We got to do something about this. So what did they conspire to do? See, when you don't trust God and His promises, you manipulate the situation to get what you want. They got their father drunk. And the oldest one slept with the father the first night and got pregnant. And the next night, the youngest one got their father drunk and slept with their father and got pregnant. And both their children who were born were the fathers of nations that are enemies of the nation of Israel to this day. Crazy. When we take things into our own hands and we don't trust in God and we manipulate the situation, it ends up a mess. When you try to build your own kingdom, it ends up a mess and empty and all kinds of consequences that you have to go on. So what should we do? Psalm 37, 4 and 5 says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. In Psalm 46, 10, be still and know that I am God. And that phrase, be still, you know what it means? It means take your hands off. Stop getting your hands in there, right? I'll handle this. Some of you, I just see parents and you're like, this teacher did what to my kid? Oh, I will straighten them out. Instead of letting God handle it, we're like, I'll show them. I'm going to go in there. I'm going to ruin someone. You get me half anointed and half mad, I'll fix some people, right? You just get all crazy. So we got to take our hands out of it. But let's look at verses 5 through 9. It says, but the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. The Lord said, indeed, people are one, and they have all one language, and this is what they begin to do, which they begin to sin, right? Now nothing that they purpose to do will be withheld from them. God's not saying that, oh, they can do all things and they can do all this miraculous stuff. He's saying they're going to keep going down this wrong direction, which once again shows us that even after the flood, man's heart is desperately wicked above all else. Who could even know it? All right. But look at verse 7. It says, come, let us go down there, confuse their language that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. So God came down. And number 3, if you're taking notes, how do we build God's kingdom? We heed His correction and we accept His mercy. God came down. God came down. And this is important. This is a Christophany because in John 1:18 it says, no one has seen God at any time. So who is this? If God came down. Well, pre-incarnate Jesus that came down. But more interesting too is look at verse 7. It says, come let us go down. Capital U-S, right? Who's the us? It's the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You can go back to Genesis and you can see the same thing. God said, let us make man in our own image. Who's us? This is a great witnessing tool to talk to with Jews, Judeo people, right? And say, who's us? Because they don't believe that Jesus was the Messiah, right? Great tool also used with Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, to talk about this because who is us? They don't believe Jesus was God. And this shows us that Jesus was there in the beginning, that He was the creator of the universe, and that the Trinity exists, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So very important, but I think this is huge right here because God, he couldn't flood the earth again, right? I mean, He made a promise, so He can't lie. He can't flood the earth again. He could have smoked them like Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, like, I'm done with you, right? We'll just start over. Noah, pay a little more attention this time. Train up the children a little better. And we'll start over. But he didn't do that. So when God confused their language and he scattered them abroad, this is really a sign of his correction and his mercy. This is his love, not his anger or his wrath. This is his love to scatter them out. Jesus wants all to come to repentance. He wants all people to come to him. God didn't create people for firewood for hell. He wants them to come to repentance and to know him on a personal relationship. And so he confused their language. He scattered them all over the place. But mercy, what is it? It's not giving us what we deserve. Mercy is not giving us what we deserve. And let me remind you tonight that we deserve hell. I want to encourage you. We deserve hell. The wages of sin is death. And we deserve to go there. But God had so much mercy that he put all of our sins upon his son, Jesus Christ. And he paid the price for our sin on the cross. But this is so amazing because it says that God came down. And when's another time that God came down? I mean, Christianity is the only gospel, the only religion where it's not man working his way to heaven. It's God reaching down to man. And God sent his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, to come and die on the cross because he loves you and I so much. And that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. It's God reaching down to us and merciful. And let us not forget that we are dust. That's what you're made of. You're made of dust. God formed Adam out of dust. We're dust. We're nothing. But to God, we are everything. So much so that we are his prized possession, the Bible says, and he sent his only begotten son to die in our place. And so do you accept the mercy of God and the grace of God? But not only that, but God corrects those whom he loves. And God was correcting them. This isn't his wrath. And I'll never forget a good friend of mine. He couldn't handle his son. His son was getting big. He was in high school. He was a huge football player. And he just wasn't listening to his parents. My buddy took his door off the hinges because he was doing stuff in his room and just not listening. And so he just couldn't handle him anymore. He was getting too big for him to handle him. And so one day him and his wife picked up his son from the high school. And they said, "Hey, we want to take you to a dinner." And he was like, "Yeah, about time my parents figured this out, you know, treating me right, you know." And so where do you want to go eat? They took him to a nice restaurant, took him to his favorite restaurant, you know, to go eat. And they said, "Well, hey, we got to go pick up some stuff at the airport, and then we'll head home." They drove to the airport. This big military ex-drill sergeant walks out the door. They open the trunk. They take a suitcase out, and they say, "Here you go, son. We'll see you in a year." That's when I was living in Alaska. The guy flew him to Florida for a year to a Christian military boot camp. And they had to earn rank. I mean, my friend loved his son so much. It was this tough love. And they had to earn rank. And I remember like after 3 months that my friend was going to visit his son for 1 hour, flying from Alaska to Florida. I got 1 hour of space. That's how much he's earned. And I'm going to visit him and then fly back. I'm like, it's crazy, right? But when that kid came back, it's like, "Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am." If they didn't do their devotional time, they had to do up, downs, and push-ups until they puked or passed out. I was like, let's instill this in the youth here. I'm feeling this as a youth pastor. This is good. Get down, right? Did you do it? What did you read today? I don't know. Okay. Right? Go to the sand pit out there, right? So, parents, if your teenager's giving you problems, I got the number. Just come to me after church, you know. Send him to Florida. But he loved his son so much that he corrected him, and he did that. And God loves us so much that he allows these trials sometimes to get in our lives to you know, get our attention, or he allows things to go difficult or bad so he can get our attention and bring us back to him, and we can realize that, man, we're nothing without God. And so do you heed God's correction? And it's really his mercy. And let's skip down to verse 8. As we close out, it says, "So the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city." So he confused their languages. He scattered them over all the earth. And if you're taking notes, lastly, how do we build God's kingdom? We get filled with the Holy Spirit, and we realize God's will always be done. God's will always be done. He has his way. But I want you to imagine this with me. Imagine you're talking to them, hey, Bob, cut me a piece of plywood at this. And he's like, ching, chong, 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 right? That's my Chinese. Sorry if you're Chinese. I don't mean to offend. I don't know it very well, but apparently. They couldn't understand each other all of a sudden. Bob, lay off the Red Bull, bro, right? Larry, can you cut me something? You know, and he's speaking Spanglish or whatever it is, and he can't understand him. All of a sudden, all their languages are confused. You know, and they were scattered abroad. So it was like, imagine this. Parents, you're talking to your teenager, trying to tell them, like, this is what you need to do, and all of a sudden, boom, they're gone. You're like, thank you, Jesus. The Lord answered my prayer, right? And they just ended up in different places. And God scattered them over the face of the earth. They're like, where'd they go? Like, they're right there in Babylon, and they're, wham, right? And they're in Canada. I'm like, hey, eh, right? Boom, end up in Menifee. Where's that on the map, right? You can't find that. And they're just all over the world and placing that. Guys, you're putting a move on the girl, right? How you doing? The Kenny G music's playing, stuff, all that stuff. She's the one. I'm going to marry this girl. And poof, she's gone. Or she just starts speaking a different language, and you're like, oh, come on. I already couldn't understand women. And now I got you, right? So just all this crazy stuff happens. And I don't know if the families moved together or what happened, you know. I mean, wives, you could have been talking to your husband, and he couldn't understand you or wasn't listening anyways, and you're like, gone. And you're like, all right, that's you deserve that, right? So who knows how that happened, but it's interesting is this is where languages came from. And no one knows, you know, man didn't invent the language. Linguists studied languages, and they don't know where it came from. They just know, like, hey, we have these different languages. They didn't evolve over time. They believe they all came from one language, but they don't know where they came from, which gives us another proof to the intelligent designer and creator God, that he designed it, that he made it. And so we have these different languages, but they couldn't understand each other. And look at the end of verse 8, it says they ceased building the city. They stopped building the city because they couldn't, they were confused, and they were scattered all over the place. Does anybody remember Acts chapter 2, what happened? The day of Pentecost? We were filled with the Holy Spirit. That's when we received the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak with tongues. They were filled with the Spirit, began to speak with the tongues. And it says in Acts chapter 2 that all these different people that spoke different languages all understood in their own language. Here's the point. When you do things on your own strength, and when you try to build your own kingdom, it will come to nothing. It will be empty. They had nothing to show for the Tower of Babel. It was a complete waste. And when you live your life chasing after the things of this world and trying to do things by your own strength, it ends up as nothing. It's empty. But when you become born again and filled with the Holy Spirit and you start doing things by the work of the Spirit, man, God does a great, great work. And to prove that, Peter, you remember Peter? They were coming to get Jesus and they were coming to arrest him. And what did Peter do? Try to take out the sword. I'll defend you, Jesus, the all-powerful God, right? And he tries to chop off Malchus's head, one of the Roman soldiers. Peter, not very good at a sword, and he gets an ear. Should have been like a specialist, like a surgeon or something, because that's really hard to do with a sword. Like, just an ear. Not a shoulder, not nothing else. Just, right? Very precise. I'm like, wow, Peter, you should have been a surgeon, right? And Jesus is like, Peter, put the sword away, all right? And he blows off the ear and like, sticks it back on. If Malchus is not in heaven, he's an idiot because, like, he just got healed by Jesus. Like, he better be there. Like, this might be God. We probably arrested the wrong person right here, right? But Peter, when he did things by his own strength, all he got was an ear. When Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2 and began to preach, over 3,000 souls got saved in one message. Amazing what we can do through the power of the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit. And how do you be filled with the Holy Spirit? You yield yourself more to God. It's a continual process every day of being obedient to God, following his word. And obviously, they were not doing this in the Tower of Babel. But imagine this, starting your own culture, because all these people were scattered all over the face of the earth, right? Boom! And you end up in Alaska, and you're freezing to death because you're wearing shorts and you're out in the desert. And it's the middle of winter, and you're freezing. They didn't have like, oh, I'm going to go get some donuts at the mini mart. I need a hot coffee. No, there was nothing there. So they had to start whole civilizations. They had to start, I mean, it was like caveman times for a bit, probably. And they had to say, well, what's going to be our food sources, right? Some countries are like cats and dogs, meow, right? Tacos. Like, we got to make something, so we got to do this stuff. Or what's going to, our house is going to look like? What's our clothing going to look like? What's our art going to be? What's our architecture going to be? And they had to invent these different cultures. This is where cultures came from. This is where different languages came from, right here in the Bible. And so we see all that. And here's the thing. We're not going to get to invent a culture. I mean, some people try to invent cultures today, which are really weird. You know, they go out in the forest and get a bunch of tarps and I don't know. They do all kinds of weird stuff, right? But we don't get to invent our culture today, but we live in the culture, and we choose what lifestyle we're going to live in that culture. And what kind of lifestyle will you live in this culture today in Menifee, California, or wherever you abide at? What kind of life will you live? See, we have the privilege and opportunity to change the culture all around us. And we can change the culture for Jesus Christ. We are called the light of the world and the salt of the earth. And salt preserves things. And we are to preserve God's standard all over the world, whether it's at our workplace, whether it's in our homes, whether it's in our marriages, whether it's with our schools, wherever we're at, we are to preserve it. And so how can we spread God's name and spread Jesus' name in our culture? I mean, can you imagine if we live for Jesus in our families and fathers? You took that leadership role and you started raising up your children and doing devotional time with them this very night and saying, let's get together and let's read the Bible together, children, and let's talk about the Word of God and what these things mean, because I'm going to raise up a generation of kids that will stand for Jesus no matter what, however bad it gets, and no matter what circumstances they come into. And what about at your workplace? Just like, hey, I'm going to put on some Christian music right now because I can listen to music at my place. I'm going to start talking to this person and say, how are you doing? Can I pray for you today? I'm going to start really caring for people and loving people. I mean, what about just being pure? If you're a single person tonight, being pure and standing for God, and even if you've made that mistake, you repent and you say, hey, I'm going to save myself for marriage, and I'm going to build my life and have a godly family and a godly marriage. Because that's why our world is so messed up. It's because it's all started in the home. And we've created whole generations of people that don't have the information of what they believe and why they believe it, and they don't stand for anything. Because if you don't know what you stand for, you'll fall for everything. And what would it look like if we reached out to our neighbors instead of just, you know, getting home, pushing the garage door, driving in the garage, closing the garage door, waving as you go by? You actually talked to them, and you actually invited them to church. And you actually witnessed and told them about Jesus and shared your testimony with it. Nobody can argue with your testimony. Whose kingdom are you building with your life? And so, wow, it took one person named Martin Luther King to stand up and change our culture because he stood for something that was biblical and godly. And we can do the same thing. You're one person, but you can make a lot of difference in this world. But this shows us in this story that God's will always be done. They tried to come together. They tried to do what they wanted to do, but God said, no, I will not allow this to happen. And God's will always be done. And we see that through the cross of Jesus Christ. When he sent his son to die, and Satan thought, I have won, I've crucified Jesus, he is done, and God raised him from the dead 3 days later, and he conquered death, hell, and the grave. We're going to see it again as the rapture comes, and it's the catching away of the church, and Jesus could come back at any moment. And if you are born again, you will go to be with the Lord. The dead in Christ will rise first. Graves be popping open, right? People that have been cremated, God put them back together. He made them out of dust. He can put them back together, right? To their glorified bodies. And those that are still alive will go to be with the Lord forevermore. But if you're not born again, you will be left behind. You will go through 7 years of tribulation, and the wrath of God will be poured out in this place. And there is coming a day when God will judge each and every one. Hebrews 9:27, it says, it's appointed once for man to die, and then comes the judgment. Listen, you can't prolong death. You can't say, I'm not going to die today. No, right? Car about to hit you. Let's just pause that. Edit button. Matrix mode, right? No, you can't do that. Life is a vapor. You don't know when it'll end. So my question as we close is, whose kingdom are you building? If you're building your own kingdom, it will be a complete waste. You'll have nothing to show for at the end of your life. You will not be fulfilled. You can have it all, but you will not be satisfied. Solomon is a great example of that in the Bible. He got as many wives as he wanted and concubines, 700 wives, 300 concubines, right? That's a confused man right there. He wanted houses, he built them. Anything he wanted, he built. He hired whole bands of people. You're like, I just wish I had this music. Hey, I don't need a CD, just get me the band, right? He hired all that drinking, drank all he wanted to drink, the best drink, alcohol, all the rest of it. And he said it was all vanity of vanities, like chasing the wind. It's empty. Y'all, I loved Robin Williams. I mean, Mrs. Doubtfire, it's a drive-by fruiting, right? Right. Awesome. Had it all. Empty inside. Because when you build your own kingdom, there's no purpose. There's no meaning for existing. It's just all empty at the end of your life. But if you build God's kingdom, and you receive Christ, and you become born again, is how you enter into God's family. By confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And as you start to build God's kingdom, you will be fulfilled. You will be complete. You will be satisfied. You will have hope. We do all kinds of crazy things for hope today. We take all kinds of pills. We go to therapists. We go to the masseuse. We got whatever it is. We got hope. You'll have peace, right? You'll have love. Satisfaction, everything you're looking for is in Christ Jesus. And at the end of your life, you will store up treasures in heaven where moth and rust cannot decay. And you will worship Jesus Christ. And he will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over little. Now become faithful over much. And so Jesus gives us that whole picture in Matthew 7. He says, that those that heed my words are like a wise man that built his house upon the rock. But those that didn't heed my word are like a foolish man that built his house upon the sand. And the rains and the storms and the floods came, and the house on the rock stood firm. But the house on the sand, great was the fall of it. Or as the song goes, it went splat. Hey, who are you going to look to when life comes crashing down on you? Who are you going to turn to? There is no hope apart from Jesus Christ. He is the only one outside of this world, outside of time and space, and he loves you so much that he died for you on the cross, and he can give you new life tonight. Whose kingdom are you building? If you're a Christian, it's time to get busy building God's kingdom and storing up treasures and not focusing on temporary things that are meaningless and wasting time, but redeem the time. Be the parent, be the child, be the father, the mother, be that person that God has called you to be. Use your gifts for the Lord. Reach people in your community. Live for God. Enjoy the life that he's given you. But if you're not a child of God tonight, I want to give you an opportunity right now that you don't have to be confused like these people were confused. You don't have to be scattered running around. But you can know exactly where you're going. You can know who your Lord and Savior is. You can know your purpose for life and why you exist. And you can have hope and peace in your heart tonight. Let's pray.